Child, Revelation 12, and God is speaking now through the book of Revelation in these last days, and certainly he's unfolding who the man-child is. And there's a lot of confusion, a lot of disputes, and the enemy is pretty active in trying to confuse God's people. But we know that, as the word says, God's people, his sheep, they will hear his voice and they will follow. And they are certainly going to follow the Lamb, Jesus, as the bride is making herself ready. Because this is a parallel with the bride of Christ. And I'm calling this teaching today, there has to be a purging to see. There has to be a purging to see. And this is a lot of the problem in the house of God. A lot of our brothers and sisters don't want to be purged of their unbelief and lying, besetting sins. Because sin, pride, unbelief hinders you from seeing. You can read the Word of God religiously. You can read it 3-4 hours a day. But if you do not deal with the root of the problems in our life, you cannot see properly. And if you are seeing what the man-child is, and you are hearing its teaching, its interpretation, then praise God, that is a sign the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, with me. He's fundamentally dealing with pride. Pride is the killer to so many professing Christians and in churches. But as we humble ourselves and as we bow our knees in the presence of Almighty God, so God in due season, as we're told in Peter, will raise us up. And that raising up means he gets the devil off your back. He removes that confusion, that blindness that so often hinders us in understanding the scriptures. So let's open to Revelation 12. And I'm going to read some of this through. And it speaks of the woman, that is the church, and the child that is in her womb, which is the overcomers, the first fruits, and the dragon, Satan there, trying to abort and defeat. Now, before we go on with this, this does not speak of Israel, The book of Revelation is primarily to seven Gentile churches. Israel, of course, is mentioned there, but the Revelation is to the church. And the book of Revelation is also about what is to come. How do we know? We find that right in the introduction of the book of Revelation in chapter 1 and verse 1. And it says here, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. So it speaks of future, what is to happen. And then he sent to signify it by his angels to his servant John. So the man-child cannot speak of Jesus, which so many interpret. And we're going to see how it cannot speak of Jesus and his life. Because Jesus didn't flee. Jesus didn't have to be snatched out of the womb. We know where he was born. He was born in a stable. And they came and they visited him. You can't really draw the parallel. It is speaking about something else. The woman isn't speaking of Mary. It is speaking of the church. Because it is to Gentiles. It's speaking of the church age. When Christ was born, he was still born under the old covenant. Because he came to fulfill that covenant. That we now have a new promise, a new covenant, a newer testament, a different gospel in that sense. So you can't draw out of this. And so many of these Christians are so drawn up with Israel that they see Israel in everything. And it's nothing but confusion. The church can consist of Israelis, Jews. But the Bible tells me they have to be born again. So let's read this now in Revelation 12. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with sun, with the moon under her feet and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried in labor, in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great and fiery dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was called up to God and to his throne. Well, Jesus wasn't called up to his father's throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That means that when the man-child is caught away, which is the rapture, the snatching of away, there in the heavens, where at the moment the dragon Satan is, he's then cast to the earth because he shouldn't be there. The church should be there in her position, her standing and authority. And part of restoration means that the church is being restored back to where she should be. Where Satan has robbed the church for many centuries. Because through the loss of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and unbelief. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. So we see that Satan's accusations against the church, against this assembly, against you, he no longer has that hold to be able to do it. Because these accusations, which is like we're told, he's like a lion who goes around, roars, he makes a noise. A lot of that noise is accusation, and it's trying to fear you. It's trying to put fear in you, and fear paralyzes. Fear stops love from flowing that creates the unity and oneness in the body of Christ. Can you see how he works? What did we hear in prophecy today? God's given us a choice. You can either seek him with your whole heart, or you can still keep looking to the world and listening to the devil's lies, which will hold you in torment, in fear. That is our deliverance. That is where the child in the womb of the woman is making herself ready. Her maturing, developing is her deliverance from listening to the devil. Can you not see this? And that is why the dragon is there trying to abort this, which we're going to look at. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. In other words, the overcomers, the bride, has given up on everything. It doesn't matter, because I'm set for the throne of God. I'm set for marriage. Nothing else matters. Nothing else is important but that one thing, that we are being drawn into God's mighty presence for marriage. That's all that consumes us. It's all we want. And that is the greatest gift the church can be offered and given, is she can marry the bridegroom. What a gift, eh? Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. So he has come, and he's going to come forth in great wrath, which it brings in the great tribulation. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman, that is the church that is left, the foolish virgins who give birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and time and half time from the presence of the serpent. So God still has mercy over the woman, the church, that has given birth to the overcomers, the first fruits. The dragon is there, he's out to persecute. Why is he out to persecute? Because he wants to destroy any testimony, any confession, any preaching, any belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the one he's attacking. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by that flood. That flood, which always speaks of covering the land. What is the flood signify in the Bible? Well, it's the type of the flood that God set over the earth to save a remnant, Noah. Jesus said it would be like the times of Noah in the last days. And so Satan is going to spew out this flood over the earth, over the world. And the nature of that flood is to persecute any who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a type. And of course, he will try and manipulate the world system and everything, the banking, commerce, where there's power and everything. So it's that type of flood. It's going to affect the whole world. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. There is still protection. There is still, even though they're being persecuted by the Antichrist, God is purging them, purging the woman through this period of time, what is he purging her of? Her unbelief. So as she has faith again, as she rises up in faith, God will still recognize and answer that faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God, as Hebrews tells us. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. He still can't destroy this testimony. He still can't destroy the name of Jesus. That's his anger. And he went to make war with the rest of her. He went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, of course, you see, the church is always to evangelize, to always spread the good news of the gospel. So he's not only content to try and destroy the woman, but the woman who continues to evangelize, to make more converts, he tries also to destroy them. That is how outraged, how angry Satan is, because he knows he's on his way out. So can we see these parallels? Begins to make sense, doesn't it? But sin blinds. And often with sin, as I introduced with this, is pride. And what has God been dealing with us over the years? Yes, pride. For God will not have it in his presence. And when there is still pride there, it will hinder us from fully seeing and understanding and experiencing God's peace and blessing. When you find you're in a turmoil or you're losing your peace, you can pretty well be guaranteed that God is dealing with area of pride in our life. You see, for many centuries, the unbelieving church has been living in a sense as a widow. Because for centuries she's been without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers. The Holy Spirit is the one, the executor that I've been speaking about, who comes revealing God's plan, God's will for the church. Many Christians don't really know what God's will and plan is for the church. All they can see is just evangelizing, but it's a lot more than that. It's about the church being protected, preserved from the Antichrist in the last days. It's about her being able to stand. It's about her rising up, being healed and delivered, because there is so much sickness and oppression in the church of Jesus Christ. It's just covered up. They don't want to know. And so because without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the man-child couldn't be conceived. And so when there was the outpouring of the Spirit, the prophecy of Joel coming into fulfillment, what happened? What was the purpose of the outpouring and the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Like when the Holy Spirit moved over Mary, she supernaturally conceived the Son of God, the Lamb of God. So we see a type again. The Holy Spirit implanted into the woman, the church, into her womb, a seed that will produce the man-child, the overcoming army who would rise up in the last days for the final battle against the powers of darkness. Isn't that tremendous? What a revelation. When that starts, when you begin to see what Revelation 12 is really all about. And so through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, yes, the enemy has been very active, and we've seen a lot that has gone wrong through the charismatic move. But the charismatic move was that the seed would be planted into the woman to bring forth the man-child. Not Jesus, but those who walk like Jesus, who live like Jesus, who act like Jesus, who talk like Jesus, and who believe like Jesus, the overcomers. And so God was able to plant the seed into the woman. Why did he do this? Because some, before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we know this because we've seen prophecies, we've seen it. There were people, even before the baptism of the Holy Spirit, were seeing the man child. And their supplications, their praying, their crying out to God for deliverance, for more, God answered those prayers. And he brought the seed and he planted that seed into the woman. That is why Satan always tries to attack the seed. And he has done ever since Adam fell. Why does he attack the seed? Because he knows what the seed will produce. Overcomers. Overcomers who overcome the powers of darkness by their faith, by their standing, by their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the seed has been planted, and the child is almost ready to be born. And we know that. We know that the birth of the man-child is not far away. Because the labor pains are there. That birthing is there. That purging is there. The last stages of it is there. You see, a child, I'm told, doesn't really want to leave its mother's womb. It's comfortable. It's warm. It's protected. And it's being fed. But it can't stay there. Because that child is growing and is maturing. And so nature has its way in that due course and time, where the process then is that the mother knows she is ready, she's soon to give birth, the signs are showing when she's not far away from birth, and finally then the labour pains come, and those labour pains work the contractions, and you just have to automatically push, because that child has to be born. And so in a sense there is that fighting. That child still doesn't want to come into the world, but that child has to come into the world. And so it's like the same with us. We go through periods where we're content. Lord, leave me alone. I'm happy now, and I'm going to church, and I'm overcoming. I'm listening to the faith teaching, blah, blah. But it isn't good enough. God's not going to let us rest. Have you noticed more and more that Spirit won't let us rest now? It's no longer one through one trial, and there's another that follows. And those trials are intensifying, aren't they? Come on, I can't be the only one.
Yes.
They're intensifying. Why are they intensifying? Because the birth is shortly to take place. And God isn't going to let us be too comfortable anymore. There's a higher plan. There's a bigger picture involved. There's a work to be done. And we're in preparation, ready for the manifestation. So there we are. And it takes the fullness of God's time. And no one is going to interfere. There's going to be no premature birth. There's going to be no complications to this birth. Yes. Hallelujah. I don't think we've ever thought about that one, have we? You know? Because medical science today says that if you are pregnant, you are sick. That's what it says over you. Since when were you sick when you're pregnant? And they interfere, they try to induce, and everything and so on. Man wants to meddle around. But we notice that the dragon's there, but the dragon can't do anything. He's only around like a roaring lion, making a lot of noise. But who is preserving, keeping that man-child? God. It's sealed. And what seals us? Do we know what seals us? The Holy Spirit. It is our sealing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is our sealing. It is the same sealing that seals the man-child. It's bought. It's sold. Sorry, you can't buy it. And that's what rages Satan, because there's a sticker on there, sold. That man-child belongs to God. That is the bride of Christ to be married. The overcomers, the first fruits. How do we know this? Let's read verse 4 of chapter 12. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. So here we get an indication of what happened before creation. A third of the angels, stars, were cast to the earth. We know the rebellion in heaven when Satan thought he could be God. There were a third who were behind him, believing that he could actually do it. And they too were cast to the earth. So there we get what was happening there. And what are they doing? To devour her child as soon as it was born. So they can't touch the child in the womb, but he thinks, as soon as it's going to be born, I'll get it. So God has to do something. And it's quite obvious. He snatches it away. Can't speak of Jesus. Jesus wasn't born that way. Jesus wasn't snatched away as soon as he was born. Anything but. We have all the stories of where he was cradled in his mother's arm. Just like any other child. Verse 5 tells us, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Jesus wasn't caught up to God and his throne when he was born. But this child is. In its manifestation, it is caught away. This is why I believe that the greater works, your ministry, your future lies when you are caught away and then you come back with Christ to rule and reign. That is what God is preparing for. And so as the Mother Church has rejected the present day move of the Spirit of God, as the church is rejecting the call to overcome, to walk totally by faith, discipleship, the cross, much of the church, the woman today, is rejecting the deeper life teaching. She goes into great tribulation when the wise virgins are caught away. And so those who are rejecting now this call to overcome, sadly, will have to go through the great tribulation to be purged of sin, unbelief, pride, so that faith, love, may be released. We know this because we see this in verses 6 and 7. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That they should feed her 100,260 days. Who is they? Well, the man-child has been caught away into glory. So something's happened. Just like Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he appeared to Mary, he appeared to the disciples. He could walk through walls. He could appear and disappear because he was raised with a glorified body. And the Bible tells us that when we're raised up, we should be raised up with a glorified body. We shall be spiritual, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Therefore, that tells me that we are going to have access as overcomers, the bride of Christ, We're going to have access not only in the heavenlies where the church should be, but also on the earth as well. And that tells me that the woman that is left, who is going to go through the greatest purging and persecution that the church has ever experienced in church life, we will be there to help and encourage her to be able to stand and not go under. Isn't it tremendous what is soon to be unfolded? And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. So at that period in time, when we're ministering in the great tribulation to the woman that is left, there's also something else in the heavenlies is starting to take place. Can you see how it's all beginning to unfold? God works in a divine order. The overcomers being caught away, snatched away for the marriage feast, starts to unfold the next events in heaven. As we've just read there, war cannot break out in heaven with Michael and his angels until the overcomers have matured to fullness and are caught away. Then the next event takes place. And so we see Michael then rises up, this warring angel, and who starts to confront the dragon, that is the Antichrist himself. And the angels fought. That is why Christians who say they can fight against Satan do not know what they're talking about. You can only fight against the enemy in your faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, his word, and by looking to him. That is how we overcome. This event that's taking place here is now preparing to cast Satan and his demons into the bottomless pit. It's a process now of judgment. We're not called for that. Our judgment is a judgment, a righteous judgment, that is contained in the house of God, the church. This is something now entirely different that's taking place here. This is taking place in heaven. And so, here we are, the woman goes into great tribulation to be purged of her unbelief. Israel did exactly the same. Israel rejected her man-child. Who was her man-child? Messiah. Jesus. Jesus came to set up his kingdom for Israel, that they would be sons to teach the nations the ways of God. And they rejected their inheritance. They rejected the man-child. They rejected him. And so the church is rejecting the man-child, just the same, who was formed in her womb. She doesn't want the overcomers. The same as Israel didn't want their Messiah, so the church doesn't want the bride, the overcomers, the first fruits. Can you see how history repeats itself? How we can see these parallels. Are you wanted in mainstream church? Do they want you? Do they want a fellowship with you? No, they don't. It doesn't take long before they clearly show they don't like the message that we teach. The call to holiness. A call to walk by faith. That's how I got kicked out of the church. Because I started to believe the word of God. Can you see the parallels? Amazing, isn't it? But we see there will be a purging. Not only is there going to be a purging for Israel, but a purging for the church. That's why I always say Israel and the church move parallel together. And God is restoring Israel for one thing first, to perjure. And you won't hear these Christians who are crazy on Israel will talk about that one. They don't talk about that. But she's going back to be purged of her unbelief, her rebellion, and that finally then her eyes will be open, in which she will see the one whom she rejected, her Messiah. Same parallel with the woman, the church. Finally, her eyes will be open and she will have to repent. She will have to acknowledge she didn't respond to the call to overcome through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We know there's going to be this purging because the book of Daniel tells us so. Let's turn to Daniel. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. At that time Michael shall stand up. There we are, we read that back in Revelation. Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. So it's interesting, the angel Michael, the warring angel, is very instrumental in watching over the sons of God, the firstfruits, the remnant, the same with Israel. He's there watching, he's part of that in his warfare, which is interesting. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And then Daniel has to shut up the words of the book to be sealed for a time. There we are. That speaks of Israel's going to be purged, the same as the unbelieving church is going to be purged. If you're still not convinced, let's look at the book of Zechariah. Zechariah 14, chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. Here is in the context of the day of the Lord. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. So there's going to be a time where it looks as though the Antichrist is getting away with it. And the blood of the martyrs, the blood of God's people, as it's being shed, will cry up before the altar of Almighty God. And then their Messiah will come because of the shedding of their blood. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the days of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from the east to the west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azal. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. There's the overcomers. They will come as well. And with Jesus as he stands on Mount Zion, so the overcomers will stand with him as well. Hallelujah. And in Zechariah 12, verse 10, going back to chapter 12, verse 10, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced, Yes, they will mourn for him as the one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for his firstborn. So what does he say that he will pour on the house of David? Grace and supplication. Because you cannot pray unless God gives grace and supplication. That's why Israel can't pray at the moment. That's why her eyes are blinded. But yours are not. God has poured grace and supplication on the body of Christ, on the overcomers, the bride. The bride makes herself ready because God has poured grace, supplication. Amen. It's somber, isn't it? There has to be a purging to see. That is part of our developing, our getting ready to be caught away. May none of us be left behind by God's grace and mercy. Father, this is an awesome message. It's not one that one takes lightly. It's not always easy to be able to preach a message like this, because a message like this divides. But Father, I pray that you will have a remnant who will respond, who will hear. Because you have poured your grace, your mercy, supplication. You're giving everyone a chance as the invite has gone out into the highways and the byways. But Lord, we know that we are making ourselves ready and you are providing for that. And we know the enemy is trying to abort this, trying to destroy. But Lord, even as our trials intensify, they are a means of us making ourselves ready as we simply look to you with that childlike faith. Father, I thank you for this. Thank you for our meeting today. Thank you for bringing us together into your presence, Lord. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
And Jesus is